Procession will be starting soon. Let's go pick up Tiny Dr. Tim and head into the sunrise. Now, this here simple life-size replica of the Taj Mahal, made entirely out of oleomargarine, houses our guru, Dr. Tim. Let's knock on the door and see if he's in. Howdy, Dr. Tim.
I just thought I'd drop out and say hello. Hello.
Come back, Dr. Tim. We want to talk to you.
Oh, welcome to the Link of Spirited Guhuri, LSG. Wait a minute. Oh, well, another day, another green, blue, electric yellow dollar.
So the first time I actually saw you was when you were debating G. Gordon Liddy. And I was in, I think I was in high school, maybe.
Well, I was high.
Yeah.
And schooling him in the ways of thinking outside the box.
Yeah, he needed that, definitely.
And or you could have put him in a box, and that would have been satisfying to me.
Yeah, it would have been satisfying to most of us, I think.
It's me, Nino, the great mind-boggler.
Nino!
Yeah, listen to this. I'm calling you from inside a steel box at this Syphilis Socialist People's Institute of Electrical Shocks and Psychic Surprises.
Can a steel box?
Yeah, they're studying me again.
In Russia?
Cox, listen, that's not what I'm talking to you about now. I got terrific news.
Yeah?
They told me it's all right to talk about them.
They did?
Yeah, now listen, they want contact with you.
With me?
Yeah, something's gonna happen. Have you received any messages lately?
Boy, messages? No, not out here. Oh, hey, what? on my phone, my answer phone.
Yeah, okay, maybe, possibly, yeah.
Okay, look, I'll play it. Oh, look, I'll have to put you on hold so I can listen back to it, okay?
Forget it. Look, I just move over to the TV, yeah?
Oh! God, that's spooky, Nino. How do you do that?
I don't know. That's what they're trying to find out.
Oh.
Can you see me? What do I look like?
Yeah, very clear. You look square, black, kind of regular.
That's the steel box. Inside, I'm tan, I'm handsome.
Nino, you are amazing.
Yeah.
So that was the first time. And then I had a boyfriend who dragged me, and I was fascinated. And
well, at least he didn't drug you.
He didn't. Well, at some point, maybe. I have no idea.
Uh-huh.
But
can't remember.
Yeah, yes. It was the 70s. A lot was going on.
Yes, if you remember the 70s, you weren't there.
Yeah, exactly. And you were so instrumental in sort of shifting the whole thing in the 70s. Really, it was the 60s. I mean, you were back. You were at Harvard, I guess.
And I was at Harvard at that time.
Correct. Yeah, and you were a straight shooting guy, just a professor, right? Really?
Well, it's funny that you'd say straight shooting because my background was in the military.
Oh, right.
Originally, I was a cadet. And it wasn't a very good cadet. I got into a lot of trouble and was court-martialed.
Oh, wow.
Yes, but it came out in my favor. And then later when I was a corporal, I began to apply psychotherapy, psychiatric concepts to help the men and help things. And that's where I got my direction into psychology, per se.
Yeah. And but, then you went into psychology and you became a professor and you met
more of a regressor.
A regressor, you
than
did.
A professor.
Yeah, and you got in lots of trouble at Harvard.
Well, Trouble is my middle name.
Yeah, Trouble with
Timothy Trouble Leary.
Timothy Trouble, I can't
it's
believe
it's the Irish in me.
Are you hurt?
Ah, Faith and Gomorrah, Doctor, by the blood of St. Mencius, I'm from Ireland, and as you're to ducking bullets, as you are to ducking billets.
Oh, well, yes.
Oh, boy, can I eat my breakfast now?
Only if you stay out of trouble, boy. Your shenanigans could cost me this election.
Well, come on, Deb. No Irishman can stop you from getting to be dog killer this time. You're a natural.
Don't wolf your food.
Hello. Irish language lab. Lesson one. Listen and repeat.
Repeat.
Top of the morning to ya.
Top of the morning.
Very good. My, what fine looking potatoes.
My, what fine.
Very good. Does the meal come with potatoes?
Does the meal come
very
with...
good.
Slow down.
Does the suit come with potatoes?
The suit come with potato.
Very good. Does the bride come with potatoes?
Does the bride come with potatoes?
Very good.
Thank you.
Lesson two. Conversation. In this conversation, you'll play the part of Paddy, and I'll play the part of Mikey.
Mikey.
Respond when you hear the beep that sounds like this. Beep. Well, Paddy. Top of the morning to you. How might you be feeling this fine morning? Oh, what a lovely looking sack of potatoes you've got there. Where might you be going with those potatoes, anyways? Don't kill her anyway, I would imagine. What do you say we walk together, you and me? Oh, I suppose you want me to carry that big heavy sack of potatoes for you. Is that your idea of a good time? You'll be carrying no potatoes at all, and me be carrying two big bushel baskets like I'm some kind of an ass or a mule or something. You sitting up there in that high house of yours, eating potatoes, Julianne, every night, taking baths in that fancy green soap you get from America. Me and my family scraping and starving. Listen to those sheep, how hungry they are. And another thing, those things you've been saying about me mother and the goat down by the bog. I don't like those things, Paddy. My mother's a decent Irish woman. And even if she does like to carve little anatomically correct figures out of the potatoes and watch them old and wrinkly in the sun just like a wrinkled up old self, it's none of your concern. If you be keeping it up, I'm going to bait in your head with my big shillelagh stick. What do you think of that?
It's the Irish. I can't believe I'm sitting here with you. It's so fascinating. And I'm a huge, huge Ram Dass person. And so you knew him when he was Richard.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, you know, I also took on a certain persona when I wanted to reach out to the culture because it was the only way that I could establish a celebrity, if you will.
Yeah. Which we needed someone like you to sort of really help shake us up, right?
Well, at the time that that I began to promote psychedelics as a liberating influence, it was really, there was a definite revolution happening. I wanted to make it more of a revelation, in fact. And but it was headless. It was formless. It was...
What a lot of... countercultural figures have died in the past couple of years. Tim Leary was another. He had been planning to have his head frozen, not just the whole body, but just the head, figuring that the technology someday, probably from a student here at MIT, would enable them to clone from the tissue of his head when it was possible to do so. And of course, if that failed, they could always use him in celebrity bowling, so nothing would be wasted. Shortly before he died, just a couple of weeks, he met the people, the cryonics people, who were going to freeze his head, and he said they had no sense of humor, and he didn't want to wake up in 50 years to see a bunch of guys standing over him with clipboards.
It was a hydra-headed monster. It was many individuals expressing the strong ideas of change. And they needed a figurehead or someone that they could who could express the ideas. And, of course, my main message was turn on, drop it, pick it up.
Oldies but goldies.
Superintendent of schools here.
Groovy.
Groovy. Hey, man, it's about your kid, Malcolm X John Lennon. He dropped in today.
You mean?
Benway, your kid's a drop-in.
It'll kill his mother.
I just talked to your father. He's groovy.
Yeah, I like Pop.
Well then, baby, how come we found you in a classroom today? Why weren't you hanging out in the parking lot relating with the rest of the kids and teachers?
I don't smoke. Can I go now?
Yeah, do your thing. Hold it. Leave those books here.
Malcolm X, John Lennon? Come on in and dig your mother.
Ah, Mom, I can't now. I gotta go do my homework. I mean, I gotta meet my connection.
You can't fool me. You're in one of those underground study cells, aren't you?
No!
It'll kill your father. I didn't breastfeed you for 14 years for this. Come here, baby.
But, Mom, I'm not hungry.
Straighten it. Do yourself a favor. Be groovy. Now sit down, turn on, and tune in the TV.
But, Mom, I don't want to watch television.
Oh, you're so weird.
Find yeah. out.
Which pissed Nixon
out.
Off. Yeah, right, Nixon, you know. Was really aggravated with that.
Oh, I was the most dangerous man in America, according to Richard
yeah,
Nixon.
Yeah, which is actually a beautiful thing, I think. Yeah, I would pat myself on the back.
What a wonderful supper. Cold baked jelly beans, cottage cheese, remorse salad, wasted opportunity pie. I've got to take a wicked shit.
Hey, let's just go back a little bit to your psychedelics and when all of that started, because I got to say, when I was first introduced to psychedelics when I was young, I was scared shitless. But you just had no fear. You were just like, let's just try this and see where it takes me.
Well, it was originally in the 60s, early 60s, 60 to 62 or so, that I began experimenting with psychedelics and with psilocybin and LSD. And so it was under clinical conditions, and it was, I always emphasize the set and the setting.
Oh, right.
For any experiences that you have. And I found that because I was experimenting on myself, everything, the inward aspect, the inward outward aspect of what psychedelics reveals to you about the working of the brain, about perception, about one's relationship to the universe, all of these things were satisfying and rewarding. And so there was absolutely no reason for me not to pursue the beneficial aspects of psychedelic drugs, which even to this day are being used to help people.
Right. They're using it for cancer patients. Mm-hmm. They're using it for people end of life. Right. It's really kind of a fucked up thing that they sort of shut it down so completely because there was purpose to it and use for it. But why do you think it was so scary to people?
Well, you're dealing in all of life with the balance between authoritarianism and liberty. And it's a delicate balance, in fact, but authoritarians make it into a clumsy balance. In other
right,
words,
right.
It is very difficult. It's like Mahatma Gandhi.
Elliot.
Who said that?
Elliot.
I looked down at the floor. It was a squat, khaki-colored little geek with a crinkled bald head and big baby blue eyes. I'd seen him somewhere before. Yeah, it was Gandhi.
Elliot!
Hold on, Snake Neck. If you're looking for Elliot Ness, you've got the wrong show. He's with the Untouchables, and you know all about them, don't you, Mahatma?
It's very difficult to fight by not fighting, all right?
Yeah.
And in essence, the a liberating drug like this, or a liberating idea like this, creates great fear in the establishment. You see, now, when I was...
Because we all think for ourselves.
Well, we think for ourselves. Well, not everybody thinks for themselves.
No, but
that's
if drugs,
part of the problem.
Right. Well, that could lead to us thinking for ourselves.
Yes, but if you are of a personality that embraces the idea of fellowship, number one, and number two, of the dissolution of bonds, the liberation of personality, of spirit, of the... learning process of perception. Because the basic, let's talk about the psychedelic results.
Okay.
Okay. What I learned and what almost anybody who has experienced psychedelics has learned, under controlled conditions so that you're not hallucinating or putting yourself in danger or putting somebody else in danger, is that you begin to appreciate that life is an illusion to the extent that what we perceive is what we see. The one main lesson that I got from my extensive research into psychedelics is the fact that if I looked at, the clouds, and I thought to myself, why, they're boiling, they're moving, look at them, they're moving and boiling, they would move and boil. You see? Perception is heightened with the psychedelic drugs, obviously. You see more, but you also see into things. You see the almost the atomistic vibration that makes up our reality. Remember, our brains are always interpreting what we see. The fact is, you are actually upside down. I'm looking at you now. You are upside down the way that the light rays reach the retina and go into the optic nerve to the brain. But the brain adjusts it so that you are right side up. the left side of the brain controls the right side of the body. The right side of the brain controls the left side of the body. Everything is basically yin and yang. Everything is basically reversed. Everything is basically a balance between forces that right. make up the peculiar dimension that we live in. And psychedelics tends to amplify one's relationship to the world that we perceive.
What is reality?
All right. And it gives you a certain degree of control over that as well.
Right. It's interesting because I know I have always, since I was a little kid, had perception issues. I was always thought nothing ever seems what it seems to be. Early on, maybe in third grade, was that third grader who went, is there a God? What does that God look like? Is God just part? Like, I sort of fell into that very early in my life. And but then I let society sort of pull me and drift me in.
Of course.
And it's only recently, since I lost my father, that suddenly I'm like, oh, who am I without all those things again? And who and so that's why I find it fascinating. I feel like I need to do a mushroom trip soon just to sort of get a handle on it all spiritually. But I and that's why I found you so fascinating. I mean, in some ways, because you were the bad boy.
Yes.
Which and I guess you're still the bad boy to a certain degree. Mm-hmm. You people saw it as a negative. And it's interesting because when you and Rahm sort of had your split and he went, no more drugs, and you went, nope, I'm going to keep going. That was a really interesting time because I sort of went on the Rahm train. I was like, yep, nope, I'm going to breathe my way.
He split and I started smoking splits.
Yes, exactly. And I was like, I'm going to breathe my way.
Well, again, there are different ways to attain enlightenment. And being the bad boy, which I really was,
it
did not serve me well because I've seen the inside of 36 prisons.
Hello. My, it will be pleasant to have you here. I've not had any company in this dank and dismal cell for 40 long and miserable years. I was imprisoned by a faceless people for a crime of which I had no knowledge and certainly did not commit, but what of that? In me spare time, I have been pursuing me hobby, which is writing a great prison novel. In the beginning, I wrote with an ink composed of parts of me own blood. However, this would not make an acceptable carbon, so I acquired an electric typewriter. I am proud to be able to present you with the first edition of me saga of eternal torment, profusely illustrated, titled Leather Thighs.
Guard! Guard! I want to see my ambassador.
Easily done. He's in the next cell.
Use the telephone.
I don't have a dime. Here, use one of the pages of me novel.
It's no good. They're tapping the lines. Oh, if I could only speak to someone, if I could only tell my story.
Famous writer to see the condemned man.
Oh, you poor brute of a killer without a conscience. I'm wet with compassion.
Excuse me, but it's always a pleasure to meet another member of the writing fraternity. Perhaps you would like to hear an excerpt from me great prison novel of eternal torment in cold leather. Oh, God.
Hey, what's troubling you, son?
Padre, I'm tired of living in...
Old Man River...
Ribba!
Now give me that gun.
I don't have a gun, Father.
Here, have one of mine.
Chicken.
I'm not afraid of justice. I know these bars are here for a good reason. Prisons are for the guilty!
String him up!
Anybody got any string?
He's just like the kid!
No, don't you guys see? The system is here for your protection. I'm not afraid. All I want is a chance to clear my name. Look, we live and operate under the due process of law. The innocent have nothing to fear. Only the guilty will suffer.
Lynch him!
Anybody got any lynch?
He even looks like the kid.
Look, it's this simple. I'll get a hearing and a trial. I'm willing to place my fate and faith in the hands of justice.
Just burned
Mama, I'll be good. Mama, I will. Mama, I'll be good. Mama, I just want to get out.
Yeah, boy, Mexican prisons at that.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. And so, but once again, it's a question of the set and the setting. How do you then survive? How do you then make that adjustment so that you do not lose your sanity or your dignity? And actually, my experimentation with the drugs gave me the ability to meditate extensively. You know, once you've had a certain kind of you've established a relationship with psychedelics or with other kinds of mind-altering substances, you do appreciate even more what it is like to exist in a normal state of being, because you can't be stoned all the time.
Right.
But you can benefit from the understandings of what you've learned in the altered state and apply that to your life to make it easier, happier, more loving, more social.
Yeah.
Because the proper use of particularly marijuana has always been as a social binder, just like alcohol, but with better
yeah.
results, better
yeah.
benefits. And what happened during the late 60s, I would say, is that social use of marijuana was tainted by the infusion of elephant tranquilizer and other kinds of noxious
yeah,
substances
right.
by the CIA, basically, from Vietnam, the pot that came from Vietnam. And I remember being in certain social gatherings where we passed the joint around, and suddenly everybody got lethargic. Instead of being engaged and excited and, you know, thoughtful.
Yeah, I can remember like just going and laying down, becoming one with a
yes.
chair and going, this is not fun.
No, it was because it eliminated the interactive aspect of created by the fellowship of drugs, if you will. Now, for the same reason, certain people who became fixated with heroin or, you know, any of these other really devastating drugs missed the point.
Yeah.
Missed the point. It's not about going into yourself for pleasure and eliminating connection with the world around you. It's about making that connection to the world around you, which is why, again, I became a public figure, because that is exactly and precisely what I learned in my investigations and what I wanted to propagate, a feeling of fellowship and of unity in order to actually affect change in society. And we came very close to doing that.
You did. It's funny. We've gotten so far away in so many regards, and we've come closer in so many regards. That in this day and age, it's really, really, you know, I guess it's so funny. You can go back to Nixon and that whole period of time, and the country was really split as well. And
mm-hmm.
we had something.
Very much
we had
so.
A crook in the White House, and you know. So I just. It amazes me. It's like, do you feel like we've grown since then, or are we just? Have we just revert, like in your eyes, do you think we've moved ahead?
Well, you know, I use the metaphor of the yin and the yang, the balance of good and evil, the balance of dark and light. It does seem that the lesson of this world, of this dimension, of this incarnation, of this journey is all about taking sides.
Oh, it's all just
right?
crazy.
Taking
yeah.
sides. And if you are seeking the light, you are going to live your life a certain way. You're going to see things a certain way. You're going to vote for people a certain way. But there is, and you're going to expand your intellect as much as you possibly can. You're going to learn. Life is learning until you're gone.
Exactly.
And fill that vessel, you know. And there is another part of humanity that goes in the opposite direction. The less you know, the better you are, because you're not going to be concerned or worried about things. The simpler your life is, the simpler your needs are, the simpler your the group of people you hang out with, all of that, which reinforces you know, being on a certain level. There is a great, maybe even 50% of humanity seems to be happy to be there. Now, I'm just talking about, really, about the United States of America.
Right.
Or the untied snakes of Armenia.
Yeah.
But basically, right, the Civil War never really ended because the South never admitted defeat.
This is a very rare recording from long ago.
What is
it? Seems they recorded one of those old-time medicine shows.
News. The war is over!
See? Bet you didn't know the South won the Civil War. This is Daddy.
No true Mississippi cowherd would leave his wine cellar undefended in such a dangerous time.
Okay, we don't want this part in here. It gets up to some
think of the balls you'll have.
You're too young to think about that, Beulah Balls. Bells.
Okay. We gotta get to the part where they have this amazing vision.
That war criminal!
This is more of the point. Oh, this is bad.
Why, look! Oh, Uncle Tom! You're back!
Uncle Field Marshal Thomas Lawbury, quadroon, honey! I'm back! And I'm beautiful!
I'm so glad that you're back, Tom!
It's good to have you.
See, there are many, many things that you don't know.
That's
everything
right,
you know is wrong.
I forgot! You're a free man now.
Oh, this is the best part of the play.
Oh, no, I ain't, General. I's a Spencer. I's a professional slave. Well, now, you've been walking over this kinky old puppet for over 60 years. And now you're playing me your puppet tax. Put it right here in the bag.
Bless for me. I die first.
A new world, honey. Nobody gwan have to be a slave all the time. No more. We gwan take turns. And guess who's joining in now?
Yeah.
And so there is an element in our society that is bottom heavy, and that makes it difficult to aspire and to rise to the occasion. So history does repeat itself, primarily because we are not united. We are not united as a people. We're not united in our minds. This is what happened to the movement, basically.
Right. And it's interesting, because I do think it even reflects our own being, that we're never united in our own being.
Yes, that's right.
And so we're just a microcosm of what's bigger, and so,
well, you know, the Greeks got it right in that they believed in the balance.
Well, this is it, Nancy. How do you like it?
So this is where you've been every night since we got
married. Sure is.
Oh, Nicky, I thought you were
out. Danny, but don't say it, Nancy. I know it's been hard, but I wanted to give you the swellest honeymoon a girl had ever had. We're going to Greece.
And swim the English Channel?
No. To ancient Greece, where burning Sappho loved and sang and stroked the wine-dark sea in the temple by the moonlight, wa-da-doo-da.
What?
Don't you see, Nancy? I've built the perfect time machine.
Oh, it sounds dangerous.
Yes, that's why I'm going to try it out first. Now, when I get into this grandfather clock, you hit me over the head with this bottle of champagne right here.
Oh.
Set the dial for 1,000 and put in 3 dimes.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be gone for 1,000 years.
1,000? Oh, that's longer than anyone's ever been gone before.
But to you it will seem only like a minute. Very well, my love. Now, forward into the past!
Gee, I hope he gets back before all this dry ice melts. Who's there?
Mrs. Haber?
Who's that?
I'm Rocky Rococo. You may have seen me loitering around the drugstore drinking chocolate malted Vulcans and giving away free high schools.
Well, what are you doing here? What do you want?
I'm here for a friend, Mrs. Haber. If you sign a contract, you're supposed to keep up the payments.
Oh, you must be a friend of Nick's.
Yes.
Well, he couldn't want his money already. He only gave me the ring last night. I'm wearing it, see?
Yes, that's a very pretty hand you have there.
Oh, my hand!
I have proof. I've been to ancient Greece. Look at this grape. Oh.
And really, all meditation, all higher meditation, all yoga practices and higher consciousness practices are based on the balance between the mind, the body, and the spirit. And to keep those things in balance is a challenge.
It is.
It is a challenge, but it is all. It's a beautiful challenge. It's a lovely challenge, and we learn lessons about that in relationship as well, because when you're in a one-on-one relationship with another person, usually a person who is opposite, not necessarily female, male, because we've learned as life has evolved, the society has evolved, that people have a sexual nature that isn't necessarily always tied to the body,
right,
and to the reality of hormonal existence and things like that. In gay relationships, for instance, there's usually a male force and a female force, whether they're women and a woman or a man and a man. And that is the nature of the world, as
right.
you say.
Yeah.
And you can express that within yourself. You can recognize it within yourself in terms of your emotional proclivities or sexual proclivities, sensual proclivities, intellectual proclivities. What are you attracted to?
Exactly, yes.
And if you embrace that, your life will be fuller and more expanded, and you will find a balance in relationship to the world around you and the people around you. If you don't, you're going to be out of calibration. You're going to be wobbly. You're going to be unhappy.
I mean, and by nature, balance is always a bit wobbly, right? I mean, when you're trying to balance on a ball or something, you're always adjusting. And
yes,
so,
but I hopefully you're having a ball while you're doing it.
I saw them all lifted off straight up to who knows where. The moon, the stars. Ah, it was crazy. They was all balled together and them lights was flashing and you couldn't tell who was what or which was doing what to who. Boy, did they all look confused and happy. What a relief for them, you know? I guess in a world where no one is ashamed of sex, it's a lot different, you know?
Exactly. I mean, we're adjusting as we go, but hopefully we're not like falling and adjusting. We're just making slight adjustments as we go. I grew up in a very liberal Jewish household, so I tend to be a liberal Jewish person, and mm-hmm. I wonder if my views would have been different, but I feel like they gave me an opening. So I took the opening and I don't know how many of the stories I tell myself are based on the ideas of what I gained as a mm-hmm, child mm-hmm. or if I somehow formed my own opinion at some point. Still figuring that out.
Well, I think you will until the end and then maybe beyond.
Yeah.
You know, my father, Tote, at one point, I went to a psychic and after he'd passed away, and I asked how my father was doing, and the psychic said he's learning needed lessons. And that was very enlightening to me to hear that. He's learning needed lessons after he has thrown off the physical body, the temple, and moved into another realm. He's learning. He's still learning.
Okay, can I just say that just maybe I think about your dad learning after and that he's gone into another body, and I'm like, really? I thought could I have a rest somewhere in between? Like,
yes. Well, if you come back as a cat,
okay,
that's considered the rest for the soul.
Oh, Jesus Christ! I just want a little bit of a rest somewhere. I'm doing all my lessons really hard right now, and then I'm going to go do more. I had a dream the other day that my parents were living in this big house that they used to have. And that my mother was still alive, but my dad was gone, mm-hmm. which is weird because my mother died first. But my mother was so very centered and calm in herself. And I remember saying to my mother, hey, Mom, you know what? Now that Dad's gone, you could sell this big house and get the little tiny house you've always dreamed of. Mm-hmm. And then I was thinking, well, if I look at that from a Jungian perspective, then I am my mother. I am that giant house. I am me talking to me transformationally. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, what house am I shedding?
Well, you're looking for a simplification of your life.
Right after I graduate, I'm going to cut the soles off my shoes, sit in a tree, and learn to play the flute.
And I think we all are. As I lived my life and learning from the prison experiences, particularly, and the fact that I was able to escape.
Yeah, no, you escaped. Who helped you escape?
Twice.
You escaped from prison in this country.
Yes,
that's
right.
Just crazy. Was that scary and exhilarating? And
yeah, all those things. Because what you see, you reach a point in life where what do you have to lose?
Right.
As opposed to what would be the gains of this?
Okay. I like to think of him shuttling back and forth between airports. Between Cairo and Algeria. I like to think of the back of his neck
shaved.
As his disciples sat behind him on the plane.
I'm in.
As they listened to him talk of dynamite and revolution. And we were very proud. For lo, he had left his own country.
Lo, he did leave.
Having gotten himself busted and feeling very low. And he was sprung therein from the jail system by some of his friends. And
some
he went to Algeria,
brothers,
some of his brothers. And lo, they were black and they were white. And though he had been a man of peace at the beginning, he became a man of war, oddly enough, when he got around all these people who were really heavy into war.
Lo, my brother was a smooth man.
It seemed odd that Tim should somehow have become a violent revolutionary when before Tim had always been a peaceful, loving revolutionary.
But now he is a chunky man.
It makes you think that perhaps Tim had taken up with bad companions when he was in jail.
And that is because I embraced life as an adventure, which I learned to do again through liberating myself, my consciousness in the conscious application of drugs to liberate my mind and to show me my potentials, which I always was doing, even as a child. That's why I got in so much trouble, because I was always pushing the envelope.
Yeah, I get that, man.
And I absolutely fought authority. All the way down the line. I always see that. I think my parents gave me the permission to be creative when I was young. And when I found myself in situations that were rigid, I could not conform.
I'm with you there, because I have the worst time conforming the minute anyone puts a rule on something.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. Mm-hmm. I mean, did you ever at some point in your life go, can I just go with the flow?
Well, yes, and I've done that. But I did that on a social level more than a personal level. When I became a public figure in the youth movement of the 60s and the anti-war movement of the 60s, I had to surrender much of my own personality to the going with the flow. Otherwise, I could not be a part of. You see, the word apart is either apart, meaning you're separate from, or you're a part of
something.
Again, that dichotomy, that balance, you know, you must make a commitment. That, again, was the lesson of psychedelics. The perception came from within, from the mind, the consciousness which projected its design onto the material reality that you exist in. All right? And that is the major lesson. In other words, you are responsible for your life and for what you do with it, and you are responsible for channeling the energies that you have for, well, in my case, love, enlightenment, social good, and fellowship, all right? And those were my choices, and I was thwarted by smaller-minded people.
Yes,
who
super.
Who felt threatened.
Yeah.
By this kind of freedom. Remember, the elder hierarchy, which still holds sway in most of the world, and certainly in America, of the old white men.
Then I looked down at my skin, and sure enough, it was white.
White as snow.
White as ice.
White as terror.
I'm proud to be an old man.
Yes, yes.
Wielding male dominance over everything.
Everything.
And particularly, it's manifested now with the war against women.
Yeah.
And if you remember, during the so-called hippie years, there was There was a movement of free love. There was a time when women actually began to recognize their power in relationship to men, their fertility, their sexuality, their joy in being together in a massive movement. And that was scary to a lot of men.
Yeah.
Very scary. It was a question, that wasn't even a question of equality yet, because there was such a, there had been such a suppression of the female energy by the male dominant energy that there had to be necessarily a push against it. So there was a degree of aggressiveness in breaking through.
Yeah, burning bras. We had to go extreme in order to come back to somewhere in the middle. And I do think they should have burned the bra forever back then. And I don't know why the fuck it came back. No idea.
Sports.
Sports. That's why it came back.
Sports.
So I literally, and I think now this in this current time, we are pushing again, really.
Oh, very much so.
Really hard, but in a whole different way.
Well, what what we seem to have learned looking back and looking forward from the now, which is all we have, you see that there is an understanding that change must happen not so much from within as from without. You have to vote.
Yeah, you have to fucking vote.
You have to vote. You see, the structure of the society and the structure of politics, the structure of government, governance, is all based on the people that you elect to represent you and your ideas. And for the most part, it's been very difficult to get people of loving nature and enlightened and progressive minds into positions of power.
Yeah, there. I am really waiting for that shift to happen.
Women are going to be more responsible for it than anyone at this time in our life and history.
Yeah, I did a yoga training about 2 weeks ago. I'm a yoga teacher, and I do yoga trainings every so often. And I was really amazed at, and I got to say, yoga training is more about mind than it is about body.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really amazed at the young women who just did not care. And I said, you know, you have your freedoms, the little ones you have now, because women before you did something about it.
That's correct.
And so by you not doing that, you're going to lose those rights. And until you lose them, I guess you're not going to understand. But I felt this anger, this seething anger come out of me and go, I have a daughter. She votes like she would never not vote. Like, what is wrong with these girls who are the first to talk about injustice, but they're not voting?
Well, a lot of that, you see, is to maintain the status quo, which is a comfort and a balance to many people. The upbringing of most of the people who are women, particularly that are on the planet right now, has been one where they biblically have been in their place, all right? Basically supporting the man. And the economic balance is all about that. The man goes out and earns. He's the hunter, comes back with the meat, you know, and the woman stays at home and nurtures the children and raises the family. I mean, it is not impossible to embrace that as an understanding that will color politics.
Right.
All right. But so it requires a certain degree of bravery, as you say, to channel that anger if you feel the need to express yourself and to make it clear to other people, other women, that they must, that they have more power than they give themselves.
Right. See? And I think, too, it's like you not voting is sort of privilege. Like them choosing not to vote is privilege. And so for those people who can't vote, for the people in the margins, you're voting for them.
That's correct.
You're actually, the vote isn't specifically for you. It's voting for the person that's not getting health care or the person whose rights are being compromised. Gives me goosebumps, Timothy. I literally get so upset with it. And so you actually, can we just talk this? You've been married quite a few times.
I've lost count.
Yeah, and you you must love women.
Well, yes, of course, but you see my path towards enlightenment, my path towards social justice made me very difficult to live with.
Yeah, I've heard stories, especially about your wife and in you in Mexico, where you went through that time where you were drinking a lot.
Got anything to drink? Anything at all?
And why is it that you're drinking, Timmy, me boy?
Because it's bad for my hullabaloosans. I get a chance to see things that are real black and white. I despise electric pink.
And yeah, and so.
Well, it's right. Very difficult, you know. Ultimately, I felt alone. Everything that I did, all of my research and everything, as I pointed out to you, has been on myself. And the challenge of evolving my own personality and my own spirit in this lifetime. And that is not an easy thing to live with.
Yeah.
All right?
Yep.
At the same time, I required love, because I was one could say normal in that regard.
Yeah, human.
And I looked to try to find the proper balance in relationship, in marriage, and I did the best I could. But I must say, I'm sure it was not easy for my partners.
Yeah.
And to a certain extent, I had to sacrifice, which I learned time and time again. I had to sacrifice that kind of creature comfort for a better, what I consider to be a larger good, a social manifestation.
Let's go to the sacrifice.
Hello, sucker and seeker, and welcome to the sacrifice of the Sphinx, the beautiful little creature with the body of a lion and the paws that refreshes.
All right, come on, get on with
yes,
it.
Yes, indeed. I'll stop the holler for a dollar.
Okay, here you go.
Ah, it's very nice. Oh, this is an old one. George still has his teeth. Let the sacrifice begin. Where's the little
tip-side floor? Hello, player. You have come to sacrifice the Sphinx?
Well, no, Laura. I don't want to sacrifice you.
Or save me and win the game?
Oh, I don't care about winning. I just want to save you.
Then, tell me a lie that isn't a lie. Or into the burning pit fall I.
No, Laura. Don't fall in the pits. Wait, a lie that isn't a lie. I don't know how to... I don't know how to love you.
Love you.
And it is for the larger good. Sadly, I wish we could talk for hours and hours and hours, which we can after, but not for the podcast. And there's a few things that I sort of like to wrap up with. One is there any, if there's any like little wisdom nugget you have, and I know it puts a lot of pressure on, but that you could just sort of give to the world from your experiences, could you give it to me personally?
Well, the one major lesson of this existence is to embrace one's being. That is a loaded word. What is your essence? What is your plan? What makes you feel the most fulfilled as you go through your day-to-day existence? What is the essence of your being? That's the manifestation that you must find to create happiness and balance in your life. And it's not necessarily an easy thing to do.
No, it's
but
not.
But if you focus on that goal, if your mind goes to that point when you are in need, what is my being? Why am I here? What am I doing here? What makes me happy? What makes me not happy? What is the essence of my being? Because you're given the gift. You're given the gift of life. And it is a one-way ticket, and it has limitations to it. One to a customer. Limit. One to a customer.
One to a customer. Right? Shoot.
So let the spirit speak to you. And find the essence of your life that gives you balance, harmony, love, and purpose, and you will be fulfilled.
Thank you. That's beautiful. I It makes me want to sing with you, if that's okay. If we maybe like, let the sun shine in. Let the sun shine in.
Let the sun shine in.
Ever since the Sonics took LSD, it's been a fundamentally better sun. More pink and green and electric blue. Let's hope it comes up again today. Here it comes.
He's done it again. It's coming up. It's coming up.
Oh, it's Paisley. Is anybody crazy for an ashes?
All right, group. It's time to meditate on the pure white light of stupidity. Let's hear it for our guru. One, two, three.
G-U-R-U.
I'm not at all happy with the flashcard section. Now come on, you freaks. Say the word and you'll be free. Say the word and be like me. Say the word I'm thinking of. Have you heard? The word is...